Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey.
How are you?
Disheveled.
Oh, yeah? How come?
I don't know.
Oh, is this just the middle of the day? Is this the new you?
I feel like we normally record. Is this the new me? Like, is it just permanently you, Kelly? Fuck. No. I feel like we record in the morning and I come in, get coffee, we sit down, and there's like a really nice flow.
Yeah.
Because the day hasn't really happened.
Yes.
And we're recording this in an afternoon where it's been like chaos. So by the time I'm sitting down, I've had two coffee, just a warning to all the listeners, and a day.
Okay.
So how are you?
I'm good.
Oh, well, that's nice.
I think I've had some cancellations today, actually. and just I had an opportunity before this to do as a little Zumba, get my groove on so that I could sit down here and have and relay the story to you.
Okay. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you. It starts with a phone call. This guy calls me and says, hey, do you have a few minutes? I'd like to talk to you. And I said, is this to book an appointment? I have an online calendar system if you'd like to access it. No. He says, I need to talk to you first. He goes, I want to know if you can help me. I want to know what's going on with my wife. I want to understand. I guess I want to talk to her spirit guides or something. I don't really know who it is that I want to talk to, but some people have suggested that I give you a call and that I pose that question about my wife to you. And I said, okay, we can cover that in a session though. And he goes, yeah, but don't I have to tell you about my wife first?
Oh.
And I said,
that'd be weird.
I said,
no, that's a shrink.
That's what I said. I said, oh no. I said, I'm not a therapist. Are you looking for a psychotherapist, a social worker, a psychologist, a psychiatrist? Are you looking for somebody like in that area? I said, I don't do anything like that. No, he says, I'm not looking for any of them. He says, but I was told that you could still help me. And I said, okay. I said, I connect to the spirit world. So I'm going to connect to your soul and to your wife's soul. We're going to read the contract between the two of you. He goes, yeah, that's it. That's how it was explained to me. And I said, well, that's not the same as therapy. So if you went to a therapist, you'd have to tell the therapist about your wife. You'd have to explain some of your conversations and your behaviors. They have to listen to that. And then they use the tools that they've learned to be able to break it down, explain it, and give you a process and give you some homework and that kind of stuff. I said, what I do is I'm going to connect to the spirit world and they're just going to tell us what's going on and what's in the contract. It's not the same thing. And he goes, well, that's what I want. I said, well, if that's what you want, then we actually have to book the session for you. And we'll do that. And then at the beginning of the session, I'll get through consent with you first. And I said, and then we'll ask the spirit world to come in. And he goes, okay, so this is how this started. Then he booked his session at the beginning of it. Of course, we go through consent. And now his made up name, because we're at that point in the story to, you know, keep his identity private, I'm going to name him Stone.
Okay.
So I went online, just in case anybody goes, say what?
Karen looked over to the left and decided whatever she saw was going to be the name today. I'm teasing.
Well, kind of.
Pretty much.
No, I'm going to say you're pretty much right, spot on.
And his wife's name is Vase.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that is so funny. I didn't even think of this. God, Lord, I'm thick sometimes. So I just literally went online and just typed in names of males. And then it gave me the alphabet and I selected S. And that's how I found his name.
Okay.
So this had nothing to do with picking by culture or by religion or by country.
Just by alphabet.
Just by alphabet, in case anybody
was wondering how simple Karen is.
Now you totally understand why I sat down here calmer than you.
Totally.
I'm like politically correct. And you're just like alphabet.
Yes. I just went to the alphabet. Nobody can accuse me of anything here.
I accused you of being simple. Okay.
Okay. Maybe guilty of that.
Go on.
Okay. So now at the beginning of the session, Stone reminds me and says, hey, I'm the person that called you. I want to know what's going on with my wife. And I replied instantly, not a problem at all, Stone. I'm just going to look over here to my left, because I always look to my left. But if anybody's listening to this, the reason I look to my left is not, it has nothing to do with psychology, you know, left, right, lie, telling the truth, all that kind of stuff. I look to my left because that's the open windows to my backyard, which is all of nature. And I get to see trees and snow and weather. And that's where the spirit world comes alive, because it's just this blank canvas for me, because I'm looking at it constantly. So it's easy to tune out some of these things because I look at it all the time. So I said, I'm going to look over here. And I said, I'm just going to download, I call it downloading the file, and then I'm going to tell you everything I get. And he goes, and you're getting this from whom again? And I said, your spirit guides, her spirit guides, and your records. And I said, so we're going to access the records, the contract, to actually figure out what's going on here. And I said, it's important to tell you that, Stone, because some clients, when they hear certain messages they don't like, that hit a little bit of a trigger for them, like to blame it on me. And I said, or they like to blame it on the therapist, or they want to blame it on somebody else. They don't want to take responsibility. And I said, so the whole point here is that it's got nothing to do with me. I don't know you. I don't know her. Don't even know what country you are currently in, because clients are all over the world. So this is just a direct connection to your guides and hers and those records. And that's where this comes from. And he goes, okay, got that. And the guides say to me, oh, you're going to have to remind him of that.
Oh, he's about to be pissed off then.
Yes. Oh, you're going to have to tell him this again. And make sure he's recording. He's not recording. So I stopped the session and said, hey, the guides are saying that you should be recording this so that you can go back and make sure that language is right and that you're understanding things correctly. And he goes, oh, I don't need to do that. And I said, no, the guides insist that you do. And he went, they insist I do? And I said, yes, they insist that you do. And I said, we're going to find out why. But I said, guaranteed it'll come up in the session as to why at here, some point.
Let's do it.
Oh, no, you're not going to ruin my whole show. Go ahead. I'm just joking.
Okay.
Because I think that the people listening sometimes are like,
ruin it, Kelly, ruin it.
Ruin it. Go for it, Kelly, give her.
Two people don't record the session. I think we've been over this before. And they have one thing in common. You are either the people pleaser, who is just like so pleasing, you're going to play it off like you don't want to disrupt the flow of the session. Just go ahead. I'll make notes later. Or you are someone who has zero intention of being controlled by what is said. So you don't want a record of what is going to be said. Now, the commonality between the two, the bully and the people pleaser, is that both of them want control. They don't want to be held responsible for the messages that are coming through in the session. They don't want to be held accountable to anyone being able to listen to and or read the records of what happened in the session, because they want to be getting away with their behavior, people pleasing or bullying. And sometimes those two are the same thing.
So that's a wrap.
I do value efficiency.
I say it, and I hope anybody that's listening or watching it on YouTube just saw your smug face, those pursed lips, the crinkle in your eyes, the flick of your hair. For anybody that's just listening to it,
it's like, Kelly's rude. You know what? I think it's really cool. I do what you do. You know that. Hopefully the listeners know that. And as much as I hope people do get a laugh out of this, I also hope that it instills a lot of confidence in you, that if you're listening to this and going, okay, Karen's an excellent channeler, obviously, and Kelly can summarize this entire point within 5 minutes, and they've already joked around quite a bit, she's a great life coach, because mm-hmm. like here it is served up on a very simplified platter. You don't need to spend decades in therapy talking yourself in circles. And I am an advocate for therapy, as are you.
Yes.
Like, hopefully that speaks to the authority and the expertise that both of us have in both of these fields. Back to your story.
And it just makes
back to your irrelevant story. Just teasing.
Right. Okay. Let's see if I can do a good job of it now.
You will.
Okay. So at the beginning of the session, the guides say to me, we're going to say things to you like Stone really believes that he's a good listener and that, and he thinks that because he approaches everything that his wife says, like, I'm going to fix it all. So he thinks he's a good listener because I'm fixing.
Okay. Can we break this down?
Yeah.
I think this, as much as we're, you know, laughing and kind of poking a little bit of fun, there's so much compassion and so much understanding with what Stone is going through and why he thinks the way he thinks, feels mm-hmm. the way he feels, and behaves the way he behaves. So many people do sit in Stone's position and think, I am a great listener, because they are attentively listening for the problem in order to fix it, right? But there are so many other reasons that we listen. One, just simply to understand. Right? Another, simply to be able to empathize. Another, simply to be able to validate another person's experience. And none of those three examples are to fix a problem. There, nothing about doing something about a situation, right? So, like, I get that we can be great listeners when the intention is to solve, or when what's being asked of us is to solve something. Then yeah, maybe he is an excellent listener and he attunes to all the details that are necessary in order to solve an issue. But I also will say, and my clients will laugh, you know, if you're listening to this, you know what I'm about to do. We can listen to solve a problem and still need to do other things in the process with listening. So I will say we're going to have two different conversations in here. One is the problem that does need solving, but your feelings also need validating. Two things need to be happening here. And if all you know how to do is learn to fix a problem topically, but you're not validating someone's experience, you're not validating their feelings, right? You're not listening to understand where they were coming from. You haven't actually fixed anything, because the problem wasn't actually the problem.
Yes. So the guides explained to him, thank you for explaining that, by the way. Mm. They explained to him that he's doing this, that he's doing the listening with solely the intention to tell her what to do. And that he's doing that out of a sense of anxiety. He's doing it from a place of wanting control. And he goes, no, 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 I love her and I'm just trying to help her. And I said, no, underneath that love is your own anxiety. And when she says things to you like, I don't need you to fix this, I'm in therapy. My therapist is going to help me do this. I'm coming to you because you're my partner. My assignment in therapy was to say these things to you so that you would support me emotionally. I need you to support me emotionally. He sits there and just completely trashes the therapist and says, well, why do you need therapy when I can tell you what to do? Why do you need to go and talk to somebody else when I'm right here listening to you, answering the questions, giving you the solutions, telling you the steps to take, and holding you accountable to taking those steps?
Mm-hmm.
And so he can't see that. I said to him, her soul is saying to you as a person that you are not seeing her as an emotional being. You're seeing her as a problem. She feels like a child. She does not feel like she's an equal to you. She thinks that you see her like a child, which then puts you in a position that you see yourself as the authority. So you stopped listening to, even if she has her own opinions. You don't ask her to share them.
My head is exploding.
Yeah.
There's so many things to touch on here, and I feel like I need an instant playback so I can pick apart everything that you just said.
Oh, do you want me to go, okay?
It's hard, because like, I can't do this, but I will say, like, I have a fundamental problem with the idea that, you know, I get that she feels like a child because he thinks, well, if I can tell you what to do, then why would you need another source of support? Mm-hmm. Parenting is not about telling children what to do. It's about teaching them critical skills for critical thinking and emotional intelligence and healthy communication, all the things that we're doing on this platform. So if you also think that parenting is telling another live, separate from you, human being, autonomous being, that it's just about telling them what to do, like, you have so many problems.
Yes.
So many problems that need fixing or addressing. Mm-hmm. Go on.
The guide said to him that what she's looking for is connection through the emotions, and that what he's trying to do all the time is to find the facts and then to address it factually. And he goes, oh. I said, oh, does this ring true? He goes, yes. He goes, I do tell her to stick to the facts. I do tell her just to give me the facts. I do. He says, I do. This does sound like me. He said, but I don't see anything wrong with it.
He does if he's doing that hesitantly.
And the guides came back and said, she's trying to say to you that she knows the facts. She's not a child. She is, in fact, an adult. And he went, what? I said, oh, is this coming as a surprise to you that she's an adult?
That she knows what facts are?
Yeah. And he goes, well, as much as this sounds stupid, he goes, I actually have to think about that because that is actually how I'm treating her.
That's good.
And he said, because I actually do keep saying to her constantly, all day, every day, just give me the facts. He goes, it's one of the things that he says, I say them at work. And I said, yes. And I said, and that's actually another area that the guys want to talk to you about, because you're not getting anywhere in your work environment. And actually you're getting written up at work about your behavior, about your lack of listening skills, your lack of communication. I said, all of the things that your wife is actually trying to bring to your attention at home are the very things that are trying to be addressed at work by supervisors and coworkers and subordinates, people who work for you, that say that you are non-communicative, that you are bossy, that you are shut down, that you are a horrible listener. And he goes, well, he goes, that sounds like you've read my last performance review.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm laughing because you're reading his literal Akashic records. And he's like, oh, it's my performance review at work.
Isn't
like
that
was the one that mattered the most.
Yeah, never mind what's written in your records.
For your soul.
For your soul, for your whole life. That you're going to have to deal with when you die, by the way. But let's focus on just what's being said at work to you. So he says to me, oh, he says, well, this is really interesting. So did you actually remote view my records, or did you look at the ones at work, the performance review, or are you talking to the spirit guides?
Same, idiot.
And I said to him,
I mean that with love. I'm sorry. I'm in a caffeine mood.
I said to him, they're the same thing. And what does it matter which ones I was reading? I said, like, does it matter to you that I have the ability to remote view? And I said, and this is actually called a distraction. Mm-hmm. This is a form of verbal abuse because you're trying, and he
diversion.
Went. Diversion, pardon me. I said, this is a diversion. It's a form of verbal abuse. And I'm just going to stop the session right now because I'm not going to tolerate being verbally abused by you or anyone. And I said, so we're just going to take a time out. You're going to take a breath. And you're going to
child.
Yes. And I said, and you're going to come back and speak to me with respect. I said, or this session is over. And he just sat there like, oh my God, Kelly, all the expressions on his face was like, so do I hang up on this lady? Do I give her shit?
Is she hanging up on me?
You could just see like all kinds of emotions going over him. And he does not apologize. He just simply sits there in silence. And then he says, what else do the spirit guides want to tell me? Because it's like, well, I'll just go to like neutral because I don't know what to do.
Which is fair. He's in overwhelm.
Yes.
We've already heard his pattern is to shut down.
So yeah.
This would actually be a tame version of his pattern.
That's right.
He's figured out how to be appropriate.
Yes.
And I want people to hear, like, you can be in an unhealthy pattern and present appropriately.
Yeah.
And that's not the same thing as healthy.
Exactly. And thankfully, you and I both know the difference. So I'm still like, I'm willing to channel, but I'm, and still monitor his behavior, because I know at any moment that in a person that lacks that much emotional intelligence, that can tip quite easily into another attack. Mm-hmm. And it can go from a zero, you know, one on a scale of 1 to 10 to a 10. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm aware of that. So I'm watching, I've got a keeping an eye on him. I said to the guides, so I always go back to the guides and say, what do you want to say to him? And the guide said to him, he's emotionally dysregulated right now and he doesn't know what it is. And he doesn't understand it. Could you please tell him the words emotional dysregulation? Can you please
factually explain what his emotional experience is?
Yes.
Yes. That's a tough one to swallow.
Yes.
Right? Because people who like to deal only in facts can't have a hard time accepting that emotions also are factual experiences.
Yes.
It is a fact that I'm angry when you punch me in the face.
Yeah. So the guide said, could you please do that? And they told me what to say. So like, I'm not just making it up in my own mind by observing him and deciding what I want to say to him as Karen. I'm listening to his spirit guides to be able to say it exactly the way they want him to hear this. And there's a big difference.
There's a huge difference. And I'm going to, can I use myself as an example just so people can also see my humility? emotionally dysregulated, okay? As an Enneagram 1, I have a very difficult time expressing anger without having a complete internal battle. And one of the ways that my body responds to anger is by smiling. And so when I am actually sitting at a 10 out of 10 rage, my face will actually smile. And it's like against my will. So I, as a client, could sit in front of you and look very regulated, very put together, very calm and pleasant even. And you would be, with your abilities, able to sit there and hear them say, she is emotionally dysregulated right now. She's at a 10 out of 10 anger. She's ready to blow. Mm-hmm. And this could go into a verbal attack, or say these things and this can bring her down.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
So, and I out that, not that I would ever verbally attack someone, but dysregulation can look different. It doesn't have to look like steam coming out of your ears and very obvious.
That's right. And so when I'm listening to the spirit world say what he's going through, I then can really feel empathy.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel for him, and I can tune in through mirror touch synesthesia to feel what he's going through. And that's helpful. That's very helpful. And then listening to the spirit guides say, this is what he's feeling. This is how it came about. This is when he got it. He started it when he was a little kid. This is the parent or the person that did this to him, that caused him to feel this way, that made him go into shutting down his emotions and being dysregulated. And then as a result of it, this is what he does. This is his defense mechanism. Those are all the things that the spirit guides are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it, and you're the only person I know that really understands this. They say it so fast. It's like a split second of time. It's why I call it a downloaded file,
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't take 10 minutes to hear all of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's not the same as therapy.
Mm.
It's a downloaded file where the information is just in, and I open up my mouth and out it comes.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody said to me, did you know you were going to say all of that to him?
I don't even know what I'm about to say as I'm talking.
Exactly. You don't know what's coming. You literally open your mouth and it comes out of your mouth, because that's really truly the channeling.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're supposed to be doing. So I spoke to Stone about his own feelings, about when it originated, and he sat and looked at me, honest to God, Kelly, all of a sudden I thought I had like a 2-year-old kid sitting in front of me. And I don't mean, you know, like that he lost his beard or, you know, like that the physical looks, but it just literally like he had that look in his eyes of that vulnerability of that child that was so hurt in that moment when it was like, I'm not safe.
Exposed.
So, yeah. So I can't be vulnerable. So I have to do these things to shut down. I can't tolerate being hurt by this person who's supposed to actually love me and help me keep safe.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't trust them now. So this is what I have to do. So I was explaining to this to Stone. And thankfully, part of him was willing to listen to this. And I'll say part of him because, man, was he in a struggle. So there were just quick little moments where it was like you could hear him catching his breath like a cry. Like you could literally hear him sucking his breath like he was going to bawl. And I thought he was going to burst out into tears. Mm-hmm. But then his head kind of comes up in a split second where he's fully in control. And the defense mechanism is he's looking at me like he's not there. Mm-hmm. And something's going to come out of his mouth that he's not totally in control of saying either, but it's not channeling. It's a different experience for him through trauma, I think. And so he opens up his mouth to deny it. And then I hear the denial. I hear him going into what he, that part of him wants to say. And the spirit guide say to me, Karen, breathe and be you. Just be you. And so I do. I just breathe and I'm just me. And as he's speaking to me and he sees me and I'm just being truly me, he stops entirely and he goes, I don't know what I'm doing.
That's nice humility.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And he goes, Karen, I don't know what's going on. He goes, my head feels like it's all messed up. He goes, I don't know. I don't know what's happening. There's part of me that wants to defend what I'm saying and doing to my wife. And I'm,
he Can says, I explain?
Yes.
Okay. So for people who are also like, I don't get it. What is happening? This is a man who has probably for the longest time believed that he has to be in control for to survive. And then you come in and interrupt that with the guides to say, no, I'm in control and I'm going to take care of you. That's a disruption to his patterned thinking. The idea that someone might actually take care of him when they're in control, because he's probably experienced people who abused power or authority in his life. And so there's this feeling of, oh my God, I'm exhausted. I think I would like to surrender to that and trust it. But also, oh my God, history says I can't. So I want to, but should I? And that's the head scratching, I don't know what to do.
Thank you.
And that's what I'm saying. That's brilliant humility and self-awareness on his part to acknowledge I'm in a glitch.
Thank you, Kelly. The guides asked me to explain that to him. I don't know that I explained it as well as you did.
Probably not. I'm just teasing. I love you so much. It's just so easy. And you set me up so well.
Okay. So I did my best to explain to him what he was going through. I did a good enough job.
Low bar.
Good enough job that he understood it.
Yeah,
and that's then great. And then I went on to say to him, and this is what your wife is trying to say to you. This is where the spirit guides inserted his wife instead of me into the conversation with him at that particular point in his session to say, and this is where your wife is trying to reach you and where she's in therapy trying to figure out her own self, but also where you're at, but you're refusing therapy. Hmm. So you're refusing to figure this process out. And she's trying to approach you to create this opening in connection, in conversation, in energy, in all of these beautiful things because she loves you. And he goes, oh my God. And I'm a freaking brick wall.
Yeah. And the scariest thing about therapy for most people, especially in partnerships, is that you're going to be left behind if you're not in therapy, right? You may, like Stone, be the person actively protesting it, but the fear of being left behind or the person who is learning and growing and now outgrowing you drives up your need for control, which drives up your behavior patterns of verbal abuse at the very least. And that's not to discount how terrible verbal abuse is. Like you get stuck in this horrifying pattern of fear because this person's getting healthy and I'm about to be abandoned because of my own fear of looking back into my past and understanding why I am the way I am.
Yes.
But this person has bravery, enough bravery to do it for themselves, and I don't think I have that bravery yet.
Yeah.
It's a very childlike situation, and I say this all the time, and it's not an insult. We are all just children. We are all walking around this earth as wounded children, like you at 62, me at almost 36. Like, it is just, we're all just fucking kids. Mm-hmm. Just wanting love. just wanting the right kind of attention and to know that we're safe.
Yeah. Thank you again. So in Stone Session, we didn't exactly go into everything that you're saying about all of us being children and all of that. So I appreciate that you've done that for today's listeners. He and I just talked about the fact of...
It was Karen's really nice way of being like, can I tell the fucking story? Yes, you can.
Back to Stone.
Go ahead.
Oh my God, it's probably, I imagine, I don't know, but I try to imagine the people listening to this, listening to two stories. Mm-hmm. Kelly's version and Karen's version.
We'll make you vote. Maybe some people will be like, Kelly, we only like you on one cup of coffee. And some of you might be like, you know what? We appreciate two cup coffee. Yeah. Or two cup, Kelly.
Okay. So, because this brings us near the end of his session. This was a 90-minute booking.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that gives people, anyone who has been to see Karen and knows how fast the messages come out, this gives you an idea of how much there was to work through in terms of resistance.
Yes.
Given that this was all that you covered.
Yes. And I want to say about Stone Session that there were more examples to give. That there were more work examples that I'm not doing in this podcast, where Stone went into defensiveness of his own people-pleasing and his own bullying.
Same.
Right. Yes. And where at work, at home, and with friends, and where in all three areas of his life, people have been confronting him about his stonewalling them. His behavior, and where he defends himself by saying, but I do this, but I do that, but I'm kind, mm-hmm. but I care about people. I'm just trying to fix things. I can't win here. And giving that all.
Victim.
Yes. And so the guides had to talk to him about the victim stance. Mm-hmm. And he sat there and he really struggled with that because he was raised in this, you know, this life and in this system of if I'm victim, then I'm getting my way. And you really don't have a reason to complain about me. So I don't have to look at my own behavior. You look at yours. And when the guides pointed all of that out to him, he really did not like it every single time. And then by the time we hit back to his wife, he would look at me and go, oh God, you're pointing out to me that I'm the consistent problem.
Oh, fuck. Let's point out how much of a problem you are. Your wife went to therapy to help herself and to help you and the marriage, and you actively avoided therapy and went, you know what? Fuck it. I'll go above her and I'll go to the spirit guides to get get proof that my wife is the problem and I'm not.
That's what he did.
Are you fucking kidding me,
that's
sir?
That's exactly what he did.
And then he got his ass handed to him. I love this story. I'm so satisfied right now.
He did get his ass handed to him for 90 minutes at $190. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anybody out there might go, oh my God, the best $190 his wife and him will ever have spent. Mm-hmm. Because he did end up recording it and the intention was for her to listen to it. And so, hopefully...
This is like when I send my friends home with cookies for their partner, and I say, I'm texting your partner to tell them there are cookies on the way to make sure that they don't just disappear.
Yes.
I'd be texting the wife being like, there is a recording you need to listen to. Anyway, sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. Because the whole point here was for him to finally be able to come to see how injured he is, how hurt he is. How he resists being vulnerable. And as a result of a lack of openness, vulnerability, growth, connection, desire for connection, he wasn't giving his wife an option to stay in the marriage. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to be the victim of her.
Yeah. And this whole thing is fascinating. He could take this and decide, and this is going to be really a big internal conflict for him, he could decide to take that recording to her and hand it to her and play the ultimate victim card of see how wounded I am. You can't blame anything on me and you can't expect anything from me because look how wounded I am. But the really difficult part, which I'm sure so many people can attest to who listen to this, is when you find out just how wounded you are, you are that much more responsible for doing the work. And that's part of the, like, you know, shit kicking that you kind of feel where you're just like, all right, got to pull up my fucking, you know, big girl panties and socks and do this from a place that feels like the bottom.
Yes.
Right? Where it's just like, okay, now I know how bad it is. I knew it wasn't great, but I know how bad it is, and I've got to do all this work. He's going to sit there with this, like I said, internal battle of, I really do feel like a victim, because we all are victims of trauma in our childhood, the way we internalize things. But he ultimately doesn't want to be a victim, and he wants to be in control. So he's always towing this fine line of victim, boss, as it's convenient.
Yep.
But he's actually got to find a finer balance of being in control where it's healthy to do the work.
Yep.
And no longer being a victim, but understanding where he really was one and why he isn't one anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
It is. That's why it took us 90 minutes. But I have to say that in that 90 minutes, man, I watched him go through roller coasters mm-hmm. of backing himself up against that wall, coming out as the victim, coming out to people please me at times, mm-hmm. and having to call him out and say, oh, please don't people please me. You don't have to people please Karen Sarlo. You're talking to your soul. You're mm-hmm. talking to her soul. You're talking to all of the spirit guides. They know the truth. There's no, you don't even bother people pleasing, because it doesn't work here.
Mm-hmm.
And then he could see sometimes where he would sit there and go, well, then what the hell do I do if I don't do that? And then he would go into one of his defense mechanisms. Mm-hmm. He would go into then wanting to attack. And you could literally see this really distraught grown yeah. adult man / child that was hurt very young colliding.
Yeah. And you know what? Like I'm going to speak compassionately to listeners here. So many of you are still on that spectrum. You mm-hmm. might be sitting here going, yep, I get what they're saying. Yep. Oh, he's got a lot of work to do. Yeah, he does. But so many of you are also stuck on the spectrum of people pleasing till it hurts so badly that you blow up and get to verbal abuse, and you don't know, you have not yet become aware of the world of options in between those two extremes, which is where health lives. You just skip the whole middle ground and swing from end to end or extreme to extreme.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's about doing the work, is about figuring out that you have more options than people pleasing or abusing.
Oh, that's where our conversation ended, actually.
Mm.
I said to him.
Shocking.
I said to him, hey, would you like some resources? And he went, for what?
Oh, God.
And I said, for the people pleasing. And I said, Beverly Angell, the nice girl syndrome, but you know, it's written for men. It's written for everybody. She does explain at the beginning of the book that she had to pick a gender.
Mm-hmm.
She had to pick something.
And the majority of the studies were done on women.
Correct. I did explain that to him, and I said, it is in the beginning of the book. And I said, but the book is applicable to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. And I said, and everyone at every stage of people pleasing.
Mm.
She touches on everything and all of the core beliefs, all of it. So at the end of the session, he did take the list of resources.
Cool.
And the guide said to him, you can take the resources, but if you don't go to therapy, she will leave. Because you can't just read the book based on how you've been living your life so far and think that you can hold yourself accountable to your own defense mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to. You don't have the ability to self-reflect. You're not there. So they flat out told him, here's what's going to happen. And these are going to be the reasons why. And this is why she's going to do the leaving. Not because she doesn't care about you or didn't try or didn't love you. She's still standing in front of you trying.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, her and her therapist are going to come to that place where she's going to look at that choice of, do I want to spend my life with somebody who will never do the trying?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I look at the other 8 billion people on the planet and think I could find one that will?
Mm-hmm.
And then will actually really partner me, instead of just trying to fix me or ignore me or control me. She'll be looking for love instead of control. And he just sat there and looked at me and went, okay, so I don't have a lot of options. And I said, oh, you do.
Tons. That was the whole fucking point.
Yep. I said, you absolutely do. And you can't go with a victim stance to a therapist. I said, they will call you out on this.
Not all of them.
Oh, well, I think I did say that.
Good ones, Will.
You are correct, but I do think I did say something about like that a therapist should, that's their job, is to call you out on that behavior. So at the end of the session, he says to me, okay, he says, so what we've got going here today is that I'm starting to understand myself a little bit better, and that I'm starting to see that I have to look at myself and not just my wife. He says, because I've been putting all the focus on her and that this is all her problems. And which she's doing in therapy, and I've been waiting for her to fix herself. And he goes, okay. He goes, so what I'm learning here is that it's not all that I have a problem. My wife has the problem. I do. He goes, so thank you for the clarity in that. And he goes, and you're going to get me those, send me that resource in email afterwards. And he says, and I've got it on recording. And then he says to me, hey, don't send me the email. It's in the recording. It's my responsibility to go back and get it. And I went, that's great. And he says, you've given me some direction, because he says, you've given me some choices. And now I realize that I actually have to sit down and figure out, am I getting a book? Am I listening to a YouTube? How do I want to learn? Am I willing to go to therapy? He says, because if I'm not willing to listen to the therapist, what I've learned here today is that I'm going to waste a lot of money. And he says, and in the process, my wife is going to figure out that I'm faking it.
Oh my God, that just pissed me off.
And that
his focus was, I'm going to waste a lot of money, not
yes.
I'm going to waste a woman's time.
Yes.
Do you know that Mariah Carey sued her ex-wife for wasting her time and she won?
What?
She won millions.
Who?
Mariah Carey. She sued her ex-wife, her ex-husband, for wasting her time.
I love this. Oh my God. Anyway,
yeah, he will waste money, but let's be, you know, bigger picture, he will waste someone's time.
Right. And I, you know what, Kelly, I hope for the people that have stayed to listen to this to the very end, I hope that they really heard that. If they are the wife in this situation, or if they are the partner and just are looking at it in terms of wasting the money and not considering their partner's time, which means their life.
Yep.
Yeah. That's great. So anyway, at the end of it, he had some direction as to where he was going and started to see more choice.
Beautiful. You crushed it.
Thank you. So did you.
Yeah, I know. Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.